Well, Christmas at Lake Point, and what a exciting time of the year it is. And I just want to say thank you for being here. If this is your first time with us this morning, as you came in, you should have received a program. Some church call it a bulletin, but we call it a program. And inside that program is a connection card. And you find that connection card, and we'd love to connect with you, fill that out, and then at the end of our service, on your way out, you can drop it in one of our offering boxes, or you can give it to me. Got a free gift. Love to meet you after the service. And thank you. Thank you for being here. If you're a regular attender, just take that card, put your name on the front, maybe just prayer requests, things on the back to sign up for, different things. And again, you can drop that in the offering boxes throughout the building. And I just want to say a couple of quick things. Next Sunday, it's the Sunday before Christmas, you know, and hopefully by then, you know, you're locked in. Christmas shopping is like almost done, maybe a few stocking stuffers and stuff like that, but you know, you're locked in, you're ready to just kind of like, okay, I can kind of take it all in, you know, Christmas. And so here at Lake Point on Sunday morning, next Sunday, as you come in, we're going to have an awesome, you know, hot chocolate bar kind of thing. All the fishings, you know, so come and get, you know, get a nice hot cup of joy. And if you're not into hot chocolate, we've got the coffee. But, you know, we're going to have all that next Sunday, that special time with all of us. And then, of course, the Tuesday after is Christmas Eve services. We got three of them. And so I pray that you be a part of one of those three services here at Lake Point. And then finally, before we get into message, I just want to say thank you. Last Sunday, as you honored me for my 50th birthday, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but I'm 50 years old. But all the love, all the cards, many of you spoke words, wonderful words to me. You know, maybe you post something on Facebook or social media, you emailed me. I just want to say thank you for everything. The videos from people that have impact, influence in my life. It was wonderful to see them and all the surprises last Sunday. So just want to say thank you for all of that. And the staff, I didn't say in the first service, but the staff, you know, there's a running joke, you know, that, you know, I'm all about a chocolate fountain. You know, I think BBS should be a big chocolate fountain. You know, I mean, I just every year I say, when are we going to have a chocolate fountain for BBS? I mean, come on. You know, slip and slide in a chocolate fountain. I mean, kids would love it. I mean, what's not to love about a chocolate fountain? And always, you know, I would get shot down. And so last Sunday after the service, after everyone's gone to staff, you know, had a nice special chocolate fountain fondue party for me. And it was real nice, you know, so I enjoyed that. And they told me never again because, you know, that was my one treat. But anyway, it was wonderful. All the love from everybody last weekend. Today, we're in the second week of this series, Christmas at Lake Point. And what we've been talking about last Sunday and today and next week is we've been looking at the three different times that the angel showed up in the Christmas story and it said the words, "Do not be afraid." In the King James angel is "fear not," you know. And so we've got some of these phrases, "Don't be afraid, fear not." And we'll look at that last week. We talk about an angel showing up to Mary. Mary said, "Do not be afraid." And we talk about facing the fears of our plans being interrupted by God. And Mary's plans last week, we look at her plans were interrupted. She had an idea of what she wanted. You know, she had the white picket fence house, little backyard with a dog and two kids, right? And so that was her plans. And that got interrupted. And the whirlwind of emotions that she went through that we talked about last week, you know, she was trying to figure it out, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to do? And we learned that in spite of our plans being interrupted and don't understand, you know, the plan and the purpose that God wants us to have, we're to trust him regardless and obey. And so that was the story last week. Today, we're going to look at the angel when he showed up to Joseph. And Joseph is the fiancé for Mary. And so if you have your Bible today, you know, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1 in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about how do we overcome a fear of what people think about us. In other words, you see the title of the message, Escaping the Approval Trap. We're going to talk about how to escape the trap of seeking the approval of other people in our lives. And I think all of us would say, yeah, I sometimes get concerned about what people think about me. I know that's true in my life. I'm sure most of us here would say that as well. And we're all concerned what others think about us. You know, you wonder, do you like the car I drive? We wonder, do they like the clothes I wear? Do they like my hairstyle? Do they think I'm funny? Do I fit in? You know, do they like my social media post? Do they share my social media post? And we become, if we're not careful, you know, really upset about what others think about you. And in this story today, we're going to see Joseph, and we're going to see this battle that he has, you know, battling with the opinions of what people think versus the opinion of what God thinks. We see this back and forth. You know, he has this battle of, do I do what's easy and make people happy, or do I do what's right and please God? And we see this emotion, the battle going on in the life of Joseph. And so Matthew chapter 1, we see the context. And Joseph, you know, he's engaged. He's engaged to this virgin girl named Mary. And in this time in history, engagement is a lot different than it is today. Today, if you're engaged and think, oh, kind of sideways or kind of weird, then you just break up. And, you know, some feelings are hurt and it's painful in that moment, but then over time you say, all right, we get over it and then move on. And that's the engagement today. And I've been a part of those different types, you know, as a single pastor, I've witnessed engaged couples, you know, and things that don't go well and they break up. I've seen it. And in fact, it's happened, you know, personally in my life, and I didn't talk about this too much in the first service, but I was engaged to someone else, and then we went to an Alabama football game 5 hours away, and at halftime, she said, hey, Scott, I think we need to break up. I said, in front of 100,000 people, really? We're going to do this here, do this now? I had no idea. It came out of nowhere, and it was a kind of a difficult drive back home. You know, she sat in the back seat, I sat in the front seat. You know, we had a separation, and we were like, you know, it was a pretty bad breakup. You know, I was, Carrie and I, thankfully, by the way, next Sunday, we'll be celebrating 23 years, and so glad for that breakup, for the marriage that I have with my wife now. And so, but I was, we were newlyweds, and I was, you know, young, single adult pastor, and all these couples getting married, and I had one couple come to me and say, hey, Scott, we want you to do our wedding. Can you do our wedding? I said, yes, I will do your wedding. And he said, hey, Scott, there's one caveat. We're going to do a destination wedding to Aruba. And we want to fly you and your wife to go down there with us, just you and your wife. And in fact, we'll pay for the whole thing. You know, you can stay at a week, you know, in Aruba on our dime. We'll feed, you know, everything will be taken care of. And I said, man, I'm in, you know, sign me up, you know. And so, you know, we get, you know, we're getting ready for the wedding and all this stuff. We have the counseling and everything's going well until one day the guy calls me up and he's crying. And he said, hey, Scott, I've got bad news. I said, well, what's going on? He said, we broke the engagement. Saddest breakup of my life. I was heartbroken. I mean, are you kidding me? we were going to Aruba. Now I'm not. And I'm like, hey, buddy, what do I need to do? Do we need more counseling? And what do I need to get you back in that relationship today? And unfortunately, it never happened. It was a bad engagement breakup. Well, our engagement today is different than it was in the New Testament Jewish culture. An engagement back then was a binding agreement. You would be engaged for about a year, and in that time, if you wanted to break off the engagement, you actually had to file for a divorce. And so the only way to get out of the engagement was one of two ways. You either file for the divorce or you die. And in fact, it was so serious, this engagement period, that if you were to die, the other person would be considered a widow or a widower. And so, even before the wedding happened, so the engagement is a whole different animal and very serious implication to break off the engagement. And so with that in mind, we need to pick up the story in Matthew 1, verse 18, and we see how the birth of Christ came to be according to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we talked a little bit about this last week, but you have to admit, this had to be a very odd conversation. You know, Mary sits down with Joseph, and he said, hey, Joey Bear, you know, I've got something to tell you. You know, I'm pregnant. But don't jump to conclusions. I have good news. The Holy Spirit did this. And I'm sure Joseph sitting there, it's like, how long did it take for you to come up with the Holy Ghost story? I mean, he's not buying this. You know, he is not buying this at all. He said, I noticed that guy checking you out by the well the other day. Come on. You know, that's where Joseph is probably at. He's like, man, I'm not buying this story. And Joseph noticed here in this moment that he's in a complicated situation. You know, what would people say about this situation if he decided to go with the marriage to Mary, if he stayed with her? Now, would people think that he's complicit, that he was involved even though he's not? Would people treat him differently if he sticks out with Mary? Or is he going to go along with the punishment and have the community stone her for being pregnant out of wedlock? It's a complicated situation in a complicated society. Regardless, we see how it unfolds in verse 19. The Bible says Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. Did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quickly. So he's jumping out of the relationship. He's trying to find a fast track out of it. And a lot of commentators said that Joseph divorcing her, it was actually the honorable, noble thing for him to do from his perspective. Now, what he's thinking is, I'm not going to expose her publicly. I'm not going to shame her publicly. You know, I'm not going to tell people, hey, she cheated on me. Let's stone her to death. He's going to put her away quietly because he probably, in sincerity, he loves her. You know, he's like, hey, this is going to be a chance for her to have this baby somewhere else, and I'm going to go down my road, my track, and we're just going to kind of go our separate, different ways. But he's about to learn one of the most important life lessons for those who want to honor and please God, and that is this. Pleasing God often means disappointing people. Pleasing God often means disappointing people. He's going to learn the powerful truth that if you want to obey God, there will be many times when people will not agree and they will not understand. And so when you want to please God, just know that you will disappoint people. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, as he considered this. In other words, he's weighing the pros and the cons, right? He's trying to figure it all out, and he's coming to the conclusion that, hey, I'm going to not stick with her. I'm going to let her go. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Fear not to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In other words, she's not talking crazy talk. It's true. He said in verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then at this moment, Joseph, he wakes up from this dream, and you just have to imagine the pendulum swing of emotions that's going back and forth in Joseph's mind. At first you say, wow, we have been waiting for this for hundreds and hundreds of years, and I've just been shoulder tapped to be a part of the greatest event of all mankind. And then, boom, the pendulum swing to the other side, and it's like, oh no, what are people going to say? What is this going to cost me? You know, on one hand, yeah, I get to change the world and be a part of that greatest event. On the other hand, people are going to tell me, hey, Joseph, you need to run. She's out of her mind. She's crazy. You know, you're a fool if you end up going with that marriage. And he's got all of it going on. He's like, should I do what's easy and please people? Or do I do what's right and please God? And so he's going through all these emotions, and I promise you that if you're a Christ follower here this morning, at different points in your life, you're going to be confronted with opportunities to obey God or to please people. And there are two powerful lessons here that I want you to see if you're taking note. Number one, two principles. Focusing intently on how others see you will quickly make you lose sight of how God sees you. We need to see that. Focusing intently on how others see you will quickly make you lose sight of how God sees you. And the reality is, for most of us, we drift toward wanting to please people. Now, what do you think of me? You know, do you like me? Do I fit in? Can I be a part of your club? Can we be friends? We strive to please people. And without even meaning to, if we're not careful, we surrender our lives to the opinions of people at the expense of pleasing and obeying God. Here's the second principle, and this is the good news. Focusing intently on how God sees you will quickly make you lose sight of how others see you. In other words, you and I, we should live for the audience of one. We say, God, I want to please you in all that I say, in all that I do, and it does not matter what others think about me. And the quickest and best, perhaps the only way to grow past living for the approval of others is to focus intently on how God sees us rather than how people will see us. Here's the bottom line. When you think about this, you and I, we can't please everyone. Can't make everybody happy. If you try, two things are going to happen. Two things. You're going to go crazy, and you will fail. You just can't. And all of us, we want to please people. We want to make everybody happy. But the good news, even though you can't make everyone happy, and please everyone, the good news is that you can always please God. Always. You can always please Him. You can live a life where God looks at you and said, hey, you did good. You did right. You did the right thing. You brought glory to my name. Well done, good and faithful servant. So how do we overcome living for what everyone thinks? Well, we have to surrender ourselves to living for the audience of one. It's all about surrender. Surrendering, you know, the opinions and the approvals of others so that you can pursue pleasing God and only Him. So I'm going to give us a couple of applications on how this play out. And can I say this? This message is not just for the teenagers. You know, teenagers, we hear sermons, we hear messages in our youth group about, you know, your peer pressure. Don't fall into peer pressure. Man, that's a powerful message. But that relates to everybody in this room. You know, whether you're a college student, and maybe you're here, you're home from college, you know, whether you're a young adult, couple, you're married, newlyweds, maybe you're a parent, you know, you got family, maybe you're grandparents. It's for all of us. Because all of us here, there's a tendency to seek the approval of man rather than the approval of God. So here are two applications here this morning. How do we live for God instead of for people? Number one, if you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. It's plain and simple. If you're not ready to be criticized, if you're not ready to face resistance for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by Him. You think about all the different ways that Joseph and Mary would be criticized. They would be publicly disgraced and shamed over and over and over again. People would whisper constantly behind their back, hey, you know, that's not really Joseph, you know, baby. You know, we know that it's someone else. We know, hey, it was him. There could be all these rumors, you know, rumors that's happening and floating around. And people are going to be like, hey, they said it was the Holy Ghost, but we're not buying that story. I mean, all these, you know, bat talk. All this is going to happen. They're going to be criticized. They're going to be talked about. People are going to look at their holy, righteous nose at them. You know, for many, this was a huge and public disgrace, what Joseph was going to do to take Mary, even though she was pregnant. And I don't know how it's going to play out in your life, but there's going to be times when you're going to read God's word. And God's word will tell you to do something that is unpopular in our culture. And if you obey, you're going to face resistance. You'll be criticized. You'll be mocked. You'll be canceled. You might hear the voice of God leading you to do something. You know, you might be a teenager or a college student. And you're trying to break free of that party lifestyle. And you say, you know, I'm going to serve Christ. I'm going to serve God, and I'm not going to get drunk anymore, and I'm not going to do drugs anymore. I'm not going to hang around with a crowd, and they're going to call you up and say, hey, are you coming to the party tonight? Yeah, no, I'm not. I've decided to serve God. I'm going to decide to do what's right. And they're going to mock you. They're going to call you a religious freak. You know, they're going to make fun of you. You know, you might say, you know, I'm going to do what's, you know, pure. You know, never mind what happened in the past. I'm going to move forward. You know, God can forgive me from the past. And I want to live a life of sexual purity. And people are going to say, hey, man, why are you being so, you know, why are you not hanging out with us, you know, and sleeping around? And you can listen, you know, I'm not doing that. And they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Don't you know what year we're living in? It's 2024. Everybody does it. What's wrong with you? And they said, well, I've got God in my life, and I obey Him. I said, what, you're a religious nut? I mean, you're going to get mocked at. You're going to get made fun of. Perhaps you're in a place where God is calling you to leave a high-paying job to a lower-paying job. And He wants you to do something with your life with that new job. They don't pay as much. People are going to say, why would you do that? Why would you trade a higher paying job for a lower paying job? What are you thinking? I mean, life is all about making money, man. Well, are you nuts? You will be criticized when God is calling you to do something and you obey him. You will be criticized. You will face resistance. People will mock you. Here's what I've learned in my life. Anything significant that I've done in my personal life or that we've done together here at the church, we have faced spiritual resistance. We have faced criticism. And anything significant I have learned, it's always met with spiritual resistance. And it's crazy. I've seen it over and over in my life. I remember when I was young, in middle school and high school, you know, and I talked about this earlier this summer, when God called me to be a pastor and to be a preacher, and I was faced with resistance. People that meant well, but to say, hey, Scott, it just doesn't make sense that the deaf guy, the pastor, I mean, how are you going to hear people? Now, how are people going to hear you? And I said, well, that makes sense. They said, but you know what? This is what God wants me to do. And people said, yeah, it's just not going to work out for you, Scott. Man, we love you, man. But maybe you're hearing something else and not the voice of God, right? And so I faced those resistance. And I said, and over and over and over again, I felt God prompting me to say, hey, you're to do this. We're to go through with this. Resistance. When we decided to start a church and move up here 15 years ago, and in 2008, 2009, the economic climate was pretty bad. You know, houses were turned upside down, and it, you know, everybody was underwater with their mortgage. And it was a difficult time financially. People would say, hey, you know, it's great that you want to start a church, but maybe you just need to hold off a while. Maybe wait till the economy gets better. And it just doesn't make sense to do this right now. And I just said, well, I just feel like this is what God is calling us to do, and we're going to trust him even when it don't make sense. It's, oh, I mean, Scott, we just don't want you to mess it up. I mean, you got a good place here in Florida. You got it made here in Florida. I mean, why in the world would you trade the beach for snow? And I said, I have no idea either, you know. And sometimes in my head, I said, that don't make sense. You know, especially when you wake up on days like this morning, you think, man, the beach sounds so warm right now. But hey, God calls you to do something, you obey, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you get pushback from others. And so anything significant you do, just know that you will be faced with resistance and criticism. And if you are not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. That's the first thought. Here's the second application I'll make. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. Think about this. The Savior of the world was born when two teenage kids said yes to God in a simple act of obedience. Now, when the angel was talking to Mary and Joseph, I mean, I want you to think about what's going on in their mind. The angel says, hey, you're going to have a boy. He shall be named Jesus because he will save people from their sins. And then that's it. There's no details. There's nothing. They're probably wondering, how are we going to raise him? Now, how do we discipline him? The Son of God, do we spank him? We put him in time out. I mean, he's the Son of God. Does he discipline us? Does he put us in time out? I mean, how does this work? They didn't get the details. The angel didn't give them any more details. That was it. And I think many times when God tells us to do something, right, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and God, you know, asked us to do something, we're like, okay, God, I like the details. I like to see the whole plan. And God says, you can't handle the detail, because if you were to see the whole plan, then you won't take the first step. Just trust me, right? That's what we talked about last week. Just trust me, right? He said, hey, the outcome belongs to the Lord. Obedience is our responsibility. We're simply called to obey. No matter what God is asking us to do, we obey. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. My friends, you have no idea what you might set into motion with one simple obedient act towards God. You have no idea. You have no idea what you might set into motion when you simply obey the Lord. I think about what would happen if I didn't obey the call to be a pastor. What if I listened and said, well, I need to please everybody? You know, they're all telling me that there's a better way to live my life. Maybe I should lean into what they're telling me. And what would miss out if I didn't obey? What would I miss out if I had decided to listen to the critics about starting a church in 2010, and then moving up here in 2008, 2009? What if I had decided to listen? What would have missed? We would have missed seeing hundreds of people getting baptized over the years, and people taking their next step in Jesus Christ, people growing in their walk with God on a regular basis, us supporting missionaries and mission and church planting all around the world. We would totally miss all of that if we just didn't obey God, if we didn't do it. When you feel prompted to invite someone to the Christmas Eve services coming up, you have no idea how their family might become different. You have no idea how generations might be different by a single act of obedience because God put something on your heart to do. You have no idea. When you feel prompted to serve someone in our church, you have no idea who you might impact, whose life might be different, how much your life will be changed as well. You have no idea what you set in motion with that one simple act of obedience towards God. Some of you might start to tithe. Right? And one day you look back and you say, no, I cannot believe what God did in our lives, in our family, in our marriage, in our relationship, in our finances, when we took this single act of obedience and we obeyed. You might be a single guy, and you see a single girl today here. And God's going to prompt you to get up off the couch, sell your game, you know, your game station, your Xbox, and get out of your mom and dad's basement. I'm in a shirt. Pick up the phone. Make a phone call. Ask her out. And you never know. That little one simple act of obedience might lead to a marriage. And then you have a baby boy and you name him Scott. I mean, it'd be wonderful. Glory to God. You have no idea what you set in motion when you obey God. When you just do simple act of obedience. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. And so the angel speaks to Joseph. Right? He said, fear not, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You will give birth to a son. You will call him Jesus, because he will save people from their sin. And Joseph got a choice to make. Does he do what's easy? Or does he do what's right? Does he do what people want him to do? Or does he do what God wants him to do? And we see the answer of how he responded in verse 24, the last verse. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He obeyed God. And through that simple act of obedience, the greatest act of God in human history was brought to fulfillment. You have no idea, my friend. You have no idea what you set into motion when you simply obey the voice of God. When God is asking you to do something, you're going to wrestle with it. You're going to wrestle. What's easy? What's right? What people think? What does God think? And at the end of the day, you do what God wants. You live for the audience of one, because you have no idea what you set in motion with one simple act of obedience. This Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, don't forget that it took a woman, a girl named Mary, and a young man named Joseph, and they obeyed God. And today, we reap the benefit of decisions that they made because they said yes to God. Oh God, I ask you to help us today. Help us, no matter what we're struggling with, help us to obey you. Oh God, it's easy to please people. But at the end of the day, we miss it when we don't seek for your approval. And so, God, I pray that today we will surrender the approval of people in our lives and help us to go what maybe not, it may not be easy, but to make the right choice, whatever decision that is, to make the right decision so that we can live for the audience of one. To please you in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.